What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the RND Wrestling Podcast. I'm Ryan Brower.
And I'm DJ Gruber. And today, you guys, we're going to be discussing our top five video games from each of us.
And to be more specific as well, pro wrestling video games, because we are a wrestling channel. Can't forget that. But yes, you know, we figured that we're going to be kind of pivoting from our original plans, you guys, when it comes to the content that we were going to be producing here on the podcast channel. So it kind of starts today with us having a chat about wrestling and video games, because we are such massive fans of video games. I will admit that I don't really play as much anymore as like I used to. But also, that being said, in my time, I guess, here on this planet, I have spent many a days playing wrestling video games. And so I'm very excited for you guys to check out our list and see what you think. And you can, you know, in the comments, put your own favorite wrestling video games that you guys are a fan of and the things that you enjoy.
All I'm going to say, too, is that as much as there isn't any good wrestling games today, growing up, there were so many good games. And I think it would be nice for the both of us to just express our opinions and what we enjoyed growing up playing with.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And everybody's list is going to be different. It's all kind of just dependent on the games that you grew up with and the games that you have an attachment to. So we're definitely going to be getting into that real shortly. But first, as we always like to do here on this podcast, we like to have a little current events segment that I go over with DJ. Now, how this works is I will give him a few topics of like big discussion going on in the world of pro wrestling at the time that we record this podcast. He doesn't know what I'm going to tell him or anything like that. And it's just like his off the cuff reactions to the topics that I bring up. So the first thing that I want to do is give a shout out to Bronson Reed, that he will be unfortunately missing WrestleMania. He apparently smashed his, I think it's called the talus bone. I think it's something in like the, I don't know. I think it's in the leg, if I'm pretty sure. I don't know. I don't know the human anatomy that well, but he, it was during the War Games match, and it sounds like he's going to be out for a little bit, which is really unfortunate because like Bronson Reed, it seemed like in WWE, he was kind of getting a little bit of momentum behind him. And then it was kind of just unfortunately through no fault of his own, just swept out from underneath him. So we wish Bronson Reed the best in his recovery. And like anytime a wrestler gets hurt, it's just like, you hate to see it. You want to get them, you want to see them get back and doing the things that they do best.
For sure. And he's a good wrestler, and hopefully he has a speedy recovery.
John Cena has made his return to the WWE for his final year as a competitor. And on that first Netflix show, he said, I'm going to be entering the Royal Rumble. So my question for you is, do you think John Cena wins the Royal Rumble? And do you think he becomes a 17-time world champion in this run?
I figured you were going to bring this up. And let me just say, it's incredible seeing that first Netflix show with Cena saying that. But then, you know, once CM Punk came out and talked about Cena too, I'm like, this could go one or two ways here. One, first off, I have a question for you too. Is he going to enter top five and pull like a Bryan Danielson did at Saudi Arabia a couple years ago? Or is he going to enter later in the Rumble?
Ooh, I think if anything, he might enter later in the Rumble.
I figured that too. Guess. Because this is his last year, but they could, you know, pull an audible and be like, okay, John, beef number five, whatever, and win the whole
thing. Sure. Yeah, they could. You never know.
But I could see this being like, you know, a brawl, a standout between him and Punk. And I could be wrong of this, of course, but I could see them being the final two and then somehow Cena wins. But knowing WWE, I could see them being like, okay, John, you're not winning the Rumble. You're going to win this at Elimination Chamber or whatever, and you're going to get a title shot that way.
Sure.
So I honestly don't know, but I just know this is going to be the best year, honestly, for being a pro wrestling fan, because this is Cena's last year.
Do you think he wins, if he wins the 17th world title, do you think it's done at WrestleMania, or do you think it's done later in the year?
I think they're honestly going to give him one more moment at Mania. Like
at Mania? Okay.
I feel like it's Mania because it's the biggest pay-per-view of the year, and I feel like if they're going to give Cena a high note to end on, it's going to be at Mania.
Sure. I think what they're going to do is if they're not doing Rock versus Cody at WrestleMania for the title, I think it'll end up being Cena versus Cody for the title. But I could also see a situation where if it is Cody versus Cena at WrestleMania, I could definitely see Cody retaining at Mania and then like it takes Cena a little bit later on in the year before he finally wins that world championship. But I could also 100% see what you're saying about them giving him like the last big, you know, moment at WrestleMania, at the biggest platform, the biggest stage, to win his 17th championship. So I think it could go either way.
I agree. But if he doesn't win it at Mania 2, I could mostly see him winning this at SummerSlam, because that's like the second biggest event of the year.
Moving on to our next discussion point, we are going to head over to AEW. A certain somebody appears to have been rumored that he's not going to be around the company that much longer, and he hasn't been on TV in a hot minute, but his fellow co-workers in the House of Black have, and of course I'm talking about Malakai Black. So I guess kind of give me your thoughts, DJ, on do you think we see Malakai Black in an AEW ring again, or do you think he's done?
Well, I'll be perfectly honest before I get into Malakai. First off, what has happened behind the scenes? Because I've seen a bunch of articles, heard a bunch of stuff. Like, yes, he may have not been on.
She said. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of he said, she said. But, like, what has been going on with Malakai? Because, like you said, he hasn't been on TV. First off, because I haven't been paying attention to that side of AEW.
Sure. Yeah, and if I'm being perfectly honest, I don't even necessarily understand what's all going on there either. I think a lot of it might have to do with his contract, in that there he may have only been signed for a couple of years with like an option to extend it, and maybe it's just the possibility that AEW has decided that they're not going to extend his contract. But then yet again, I've also heard other reports saying like, oh, he's technically signed until like 2027 or 2028. So I don't know what, I guess I don't, even I don't necessarily understand what's going on with Malakai Black, but I guess sort of my question is, do you think if he doesn't show up in AEW, where do you think we see him show up next? Do you think he goes back to WWE, and what that might all mean for him?
I don't think so. If anything, I feel like he'll show up in like TNA, like what the Hardys are doing right now. I feel like he would go to TNA first before his contract expired, or, you know, he was like, oh, I'm going to be released, whatever. I feel
You know what I'm thinking about just now, DJ, that I didn't even think of for one of our discussion points? At the time of this recording, we're like a couple days removed from WWE and TNA announcing that they have a partnership.
I wanted to talk to you about that too.
I didn't even think about writing that down as one of our discussion points, but yeah. So I guess like maybe there's a chance that like, yeah, he goes to TNA for a little bit, has a run there, and then he goes back to WWE. Cause at this point, I mean, I think the jokes are there, but I think it's the 100% truth. I think TNA is now going to become like a developmental system for WWE's developmental system, that being NXT. Duh. So yeah, I think the jokes are already there for it, but yeah, I guess then let's move on to that. Then what do you think about the WWE TNA partnership?
I wanted to say I could see that a mile away. Like, I think you can agree me too. Like,
yeah,
we could see
I coming suppose.
A mile away. Like, yeah. Seriously, we could see that coming a mile away. But I'm just concerned here too, because when I saw that the partnership was formed, they said it was going to be for NXT superstars to go over there, not the main card people.
Yeah, like, they kept putting over NXT, which is why I have concern that this is going to be very much a one-way deal. Because, you know, and especially for a lot of the guys in TNA, like, if they have an opportunity to jump ship and go to WWE, they're going to do it. You really think Jordynne Grace is going to stick around TNA for the rest of her career? Like, if she gets an opportunity in NXT, like, and then to go to the main roster, she's going to take it. I mean, I guess I can't speak for her, and I don't usually like to speak for a lot of wrestlers, but I know that there's a lot of wrestlers out there that want to be able to do this at like the highest level that they can. And to be honest, with TNA in the current state that it's in, you're only going to go so far with that. So if a lot of these guys like Jordynne Grace, Joe Hendry, like I could see a lot of them going over to WWE.
Oh yeah, for sure. And when they were making an emphasis on NXT, I'm like, yeah, TNA's just another developmental group at this point. It's just NXT 2.0 at this point.
A wrestler making his return from injury, that being Kenny Omega. We just saw him have his first match back on New Japan against Gabe Kidd not that long ago. And then he had a match on Dynamite with Brian Cage. And it looks like they're setting up for like a dream team between him and Will Ospreay, which I was super, super giddy about. So DJ, kind of give me your thoughts on Kenny Omega's return so far and where you think they're going to take him this year.
Well, one, it's about time that he came back. Dynamite AEW needed him so freaking badly. I'm so ecstatic about it. Yeah. And number two, after watching his first match and then Ospreay comes out, I'm like, Tony Khan, you better not fumble the bag here. I'm literally telling myself, don't fumble this bag here, because AEW has the opportunity here of a lifetime to build up two of the best wrestlers of our generation right here. Don't fumble the bag, Tony, because 2025 is going to be a good year if they don't fumble it here.
I hope if they give Kenny and Ospreay the tag belts, they need to like put more emphasis on that tag division again, because it's been sorely lacking for a little bit. There's also a part of me that sat here like, man, like Kenny and Will, like these guys should both be world champions at this point. Like I feel like the plan is all based on whether or not Darby Allin successfully is able to like climb from Mount Everest and not get harmed and anything like that. And if that happens, like put the belt on him at All In, and hence why they want to keep Moxley as champion for so long. I get that. There's also a part of me that's just like, all right, man, I think we should just call an audible and give Kenny Omega the world championship let him go on another tear. But that's just me personally.
I don't blame you. I think they should call an audible and be like, give Kenny the belt or Will the belt. But
yeah,
we're not in the board or anything. We're not executives. So at the end of the day, we just got to be patient and see how the year plays out. It's only January.
That is true. There is still plenty of time in the year for that to happen. But DJ, I've got one more topic for you, and I saved the best for last, because this is one that you, and I already know that you know where I'm going to take this, because you and I have been covering this story for a little bit, especially because you are such a big fan of Seth Person. But at the time of this recording, it is finally confirmed that Pentagon Jr. is now officially in the WWE, and he just had his first match with Chad Gable. Come on, the people have been waiting for your thoughts, man. Give them out. Let them have it.
Well, first off, I am not buying his WWE Tops card. It's already been announced. I am not buying that card. I will not buy that freaking card. I am not buying that card because I have a AEW card, you know, that's much better than that card. Mm. Anyways, okay. He had a good match. I watched the match. It was good.
It was very good. It was very good. Yeah.
It was very good. And it was a nice family moment, you know, when to see his family, you know, right by him, you know, having a moment.
Was like, that his daughter in the crowd that was crying?
Yes, that was his daughter.
Okay. Okay.
That's why it was very touching.
But yeah, anyways, that is touching. Very.
Very touching. But at the same time, I'm like, they're gonna waste my boy, because they're going to waste my boy within a month. Like, they're not going to give him a title shot against Gunther. They're not going to give him a Priest match. They are not going to give him a match against Cody. He had a good match, but
what's the follow-up?
So you know when Andrade was so happy to leave AEW, and then all of a sudden he goes back to WWE? What has he done? Besides have a triple threat with LA Knight and...
And a best of seven with Carmelo Hayes, that's it.
Like, seriously, what has Andrade done since he came back?
You're right. You're right.
I am worried that they're not going to give Penta the matches he deserves, and I feel like they're going to waste his talent right down the drain. But I can't speak for Penta. I love him so much because he was so awesome in AEW. I wish he would have stayed, but, you know, he's already making an impact in WWE, and who knows?
And he seems very happy doing it based on that promo.
Yeah, he was very happy, and I'm happy for my boy. Whatever makes him happy makes me happy, you know? But at the same time, Triple H, please don't screw him up, because he's one of the best luchadors out there. Like, give me a Rey versus Penta match. I don't care. Just please don't fumble the bag with him.
They kept putting over, Michael Cole did anyway, that Penta is the second best luchador in, like, wrestling. Because, they said, Rey Mysterio is the first. So that to me kind of says, okay, surely you have to be setting up a big Rey Mysterio versus Pentagon match at some point. And I feel like the place for that would be WrestleMania. So if that's the plan for Penta at Mania for his first WrestleMania, I would be all for that.
Honestly, I could see that going there, but my creative side of me was saying this too. Like, so you know when Moxley and Bryan Danielson fought each other at that Revolution before the Black Bull Combat Club was created?
Yes.
I feel like if they do the Mania match the right way with Rey and Penta, those two, you know, have a killer match, and then all of a sudden, you know, they're both like, you know, let's join together and all that, And then my fear, you know, if a certain someone's contract comes up with AEW, you know, he joins his brother over there at WWE, they're going to create this Nike faction and all that. That's better than faction the old luchadors.
Well, I mean, the thing, my biggest gripe with WWE is a lot of time when it's like, oh, we've got a luchador, go join the LWO or go join Santos's group. I don't want that to happen. But I think what they could do is, even if they like, what they could do is maybe like put Penta with the LWO for like a week or two and make it look like, oh, he's going to be a part of this thing. And then he turns on all of them and just like beats the crap out of them. And then in the weeks leading up to WrestleMania, he's taking out members of the faction. And then that way it's like, he's like, I'm going to put an end to this. I'm going to put an end to Rey Mysterio. I'm going to prove that I'm the best luchador in all of wrestling. I'm going to put an end to the legend that is Rey Mysterio. Like, I think that would be cool.
Oh, that'd be very cool, honestly. Like, Penta as a heel is very good. He's got the talent. Like, honestly, if you put him with the LWO, Penta's the best in all the LWO. Nothing against Rey and all that, but Penta's the best luchador. I have said it for so long. You've heard me say it for so long. And, you know what, I'm just going to say this right now, because why not? Give him a push for a singles title right now, because the man has the potential to win Intercontinental, U.S. title. Please just give my guy a title shot.
Ugh. I even think Penta could be world champion if they really wanted him to be. I don't think it's going to happen. I think that's like, you know, for anybody that's wishing for Penta to be world champion in this company, I think they're setting expectations too high. But yeah, like if they put him in a feud with like Braun Breaker for the Intercontinental title, for those who watch my the WWE videos, you guys, my 2K videos, you understand why I call him Braun Breaker. But Braun Breaker, if they give him an Intercontinental title run there, that would be like, that would be a good way to get things started for Penta in the WWE.
For sure. And, you know, I'm always hoping deep down, you know, that he does become world champion, but we all know that he may not. But, you know, I just want to see a good Penta run here. You know, I just don't want him to, you know, get wasted. You know, he's such a good talent. I just want to see him succeed.
Yes. And if there was ever a time for him to have a singles run, I think it's right now, because here's the thing, right? I think Phoenix, it's pretty inevitable at this point that he's probably going to join his brother in WWE once his contract is up. So I feel like by that point, WWE is then just going to go, okay, well, Phoenix is here. Let's put him with his brother and we'll just make the two of them a tag team, and they'll make them tag team champions and stuff, which is fine. It should definitely happen. But I don't, I think the strength with Penta and Phoenix both is they can thrive not only as a tag team, but as singles competitors. And they can always go off on their own and always come back together, like whenever they want. But my worry, and I think even AEW fell into this trap too, is, well, we're just going to treat them like a tag team, like we would any of our other tag teams in our division, and treat it like that, versus, oh, you know, like, it, dude, the only reason that Phoenix was given the international title is because they had to call it, like, Mox called it audible because he got hurt. Otherwise, there were never any plans to. If Tony Khan would have actually been like, you know what, let's freaking pivot and let's make Phoenix hold this title for a little bit and have him have a heck of a run for it, it could have really turned out to be something. The problem was it wasn't. It wasn't his plan, and he only saw them as, like, a tag team. So maybe WWE will finally break that mold and it'll allow both men to thrive, but only time will tell.
Oh yeah, for sure. And Penta has, we all knew that Penta was going to be very talented and get a push going in. I just hope he doesn't turn into Andrade at the end of the day, because if Rey ever comes to WWE, guess what match we could get that we were both wishing on AEW? Motor City Machine Guns versus Lucha Bros, if they wanted to go that way.
Oh dude, you're right. I didn't even think about that, but you're right.
Because we wanted
That's a WrestleMania tag team title match waiting to happen, surely.
We wanted that in AEW, but, you know, we can't get everything.
Yeah. Or, dude, even if they did, like, a triple threat tag and they put DIY in there as well, I wouldn't even be mad at that either, because I'm a huge fan of them, too.
I wouldn't be mad at that.
Yeah, Motor City Machine Guns versus the Lucha Brothers. That's got money written all over it, I'm telling you. So I think now, DJ, would be a good time for us to move into our top five favorite pro wrestling video games. So we've each got a list here of five games. Obviously, not everyone is going to be a fan of each of our lists. They're probably going to think like, oh, why isn't this game on here? Why isn't this game on here? All right, let me put this out there into the ether right now, because I know people are already going to be asking about it. Objectively, one of the best wrestling video games ever made, according to a lot of wrestling fans, is No Mercy. I'm going to let you guys know right now that is not on my list. I have really no history with that game whatsoever. So it doesn't mean anything to me the way that it means something to a lot of different people. I can probably imagine DJ doesn't have it on his list either, unless there's something.
I do not.
So in that case, yeah. So for all the No Mercy fans out there, sorry to disappoint you guys, but we don't got the history with that game that y'all do. So this is just kind of like our list of favorite wrestling games that we have a connection to and we have a passion for. So DJ, do you want to start out with your number five, or should I?
I can start it out. My number five was WWE 2K Battlegrounds. Now, it wasn't a bad game, but I honestly thought of it more like a game, you know, to fill up, you know, when you want to waste time and all that. Like, it wasn't a bad game, but it was more like, you know, like, oh, I have a half hour to kill. I'll play this game and all that. Like, it was more of like a Clash of Clans, Clash Royale feeling to me.
Okay, sure. Yeah, that's not a bad take whatsoever. I remember having fun with Battlegrounds for a little bit, because it reminded me a lot of I think it was like WWE All-Stars from like 2010 or 2011. And that was a game that it's not on my list, but it was a game that I definitely liked playing for a little bit. So yeah, no, the fact that they kind of made a game like that, unfortunately, I don't think it had like too many legs on it. Like, it didn't have that long of a shelf life for me. But for the time that I played it, it was fine.
Mm-hmm. For sure. It wasn't the worst game.
Yeah, no, definitely. So my number five is a game that I have a connection with for one reason, and that's because of the general manager mode, and that is SmackDown versus Raw 2006. This is the game where the GM mode was like first made a thing, and like, I was obsessed with this game mode. Now, if I'm being honest, I've put more time into the 2007 general manager mode, but the 2006 one is so much better. Like, it was simple, to the point. It was everything that I wanted that mode to be. I feel like as games went on, like 2007, 2008, they kept making the GM mode more complicated, but like that original GM mode, I could sit there for hours and hours and hours and just do that, because I had such a passion for that game mode. I love it.
I respect that, man. Totally respect
and I
that.
Even, and just to, let me just put out there as well, I actually like what they're doing with the GM mode in the newer games as well, like the 2K games. They had a nice base with 2022, and I think since then they've just continued to grow it. And so I think in like a couple years' time, like that GM mode, like if they continue to add more features to it, it could like really be something special.
Oh, funny enough, I put 2K22 for my number four.
Nice transition. What? Look at that. I segued when I didn't even mean to. Let's go.
Hey, it's that chemistry, man. I'm telling you, it's that chemistry.
Yeah, heck yeah, man.
So yeah, I put 2K22 in there because like you said, the GM mode was pretty good. And when I played that game a little bit more, I'm like, you know what? This isn't a bad game, actually. Like, you know, it was begin to a point, you know, where 2K was not sucking for once, you know, like, I'll be honest, 2K19 and 20 were really awful.
Yeah, they were bad. Especially and, 20. Yeah. 20 was awful.
We don't even need to talk about 20. It's not even on our list, I think.
No. God, no.
Anyways, so after those two games, it's like, okay, I might just, you know, try it for a couple days. Let's see how bad this game is. But then I started playing it more, and I'm like, you know what? This game isn't bad. And sure enough, the stars were better. The settings were much better. The GM mode was the best thing that could happen to that game, honestly.
The career mode was really good, too, actually. I remember really enjoying that.
The career mode was very good, too. So no complaints there. I thought 2K22 was a good game to help, you know, store 2K's reputation like of not sucking for pro wrestling.
Yeah, and I remember like they even took the year off like after 20. I think part of that might have to have done with COVID, but like either way, I think it was a step that 100% needed to happen, because like I think 2K20 was just like the worst of the worst when it comes to wrestling video games, and like it just the series needed a revamp, and I think 2022 was a great start for them to build. And since that time, they have been then building that 2K series. I've actually played a bit of 2K22, 2K23, 2K24. They're not bad games. Are they my favorites? No, but they're not bad. And they are doing everything that they can to improve the 2K series and try to, like, not only restore its reputation, but kind of give it a whole new one in a way. Like, they have their set game modes now. Like, they've got their career mode. They've got their GM mode. They've got that My Faction mode, that card game that everyone likes, like in the NBA 2K games. So they have all their features there. Really, the last thing they need to do is just completely revamp Universe mode. Because while I love the concept of it, it just needs a... it needs a revamp for sure.
For sure. Totally agree with you there.
Which is a perfect segue, if you don't mind, for me to go into my number four.
Mm-hmm.
And that is SmackDown versus Raw 2011, which is the first year of the Universe mode. And it is absolutely amazing. I would like us to go back to this version of Universe mode where it's like, you can have your shows, you have your couple of matches and stuff. But after every match, there's always like something crazy that happens in the Universe mode. And it's not as always like repetitive as it kind of gets in the newer games. Like you'd have matches in there where it'd say like, you could be like John Cena and Triple H versus Randy Orton and a mystery partner. And Randy Orton would come out and you'd be like, oh, well, who's the partner going to be? And it sometimes it'd be somebody random, like, oh, it's Evan Bourne. Okay. And it would just make for such funny scenarios. Like, oh, I wonder who Shawn Michaels' partner is going to be this week. Wait, is that Cody Rhodes? Like, it would be so freaking funny. And I want that back so bad. Cause, and then there'd also be like I can't remember if it had the draft mode in there. I know like the 2K12 did, or WWE 12 did. I can't remember if 11 did, but just we need to get back to that era of Universe mode because they've gotten away from it so bad, and it needs a complete revamp. But another thing that I really like about the 2011 game is the Road to WrestleMania modes, because they would be like these little, before they had like the career mode, right? They would have like these little mini stories, like these 12-week storylines with different wrestlers going from the start of January all the way up to WrestleMania. So you'd have like your first 4 weeks, then the Rumble, then your next 4 weeks, then the Chamber, and then your next 4 weeks, and then Mania. And that was the big story of like each of these games. And you had stories in this one for John Cena, Chris Jericho, Rey Mysterio, and Christian. And all of them I have such fond memories of, and I love them all.
I had to include this game in somehow, but AEW Fight Forever for my number three, I gotta include it okay. somehow.
Because we are an AEW channel, right?
We are. And the reason I put it in the middle is, as much as I had very high expectations for this game, and I thought it would, you know, be probably one of the better games, but I ain't gonna lie, man. It let me down. It let me down. And at first, you know, after playing for like the first 2 weeks, it was like, okay, this is very good. You know, like I like the roster. I like the storylines. It was just very good in general because yeah. It was like a breath of fresh air for video games wise, for pro wrestling.
Yeah.
But the more you played it, and then you completed, you know, all the challenges, you know, all the career mode stuff and all that, you're yep. like, huh, how are you going to update this? And, you know, will they make any changes? Well, yes, they did yep. have a couple updates, but it wasn't what we were expecting. Right. And then at that point, you just felt like, okay, I'm doing the same thing over and over again. Like, are yep. they actually going to change this game? Or is it going to be like, you know, Star Wars Battlefront or whatever, when we wanted to make changes, but it doesn't make changes? You know?
Oh, sure, sure. Yeah, because we're big Star Wars fans, for those who don't know.
Oh, yeah. And it just felt so repeated, you know? Like, I'm doing the same match, the same storyline. It's like, okay, at this point, it's like, I gotta find something else here because I can't keep doing the same thing over and over.
Yeah, that was my problem, too, is that Fight Forever, it just, like, within, like, 2 or 3 weeks, I already did everything that I wanted to do. And then I was just kind of done with the game. And it took them forever to release patches and stuff. And there was that moment where they released like that Fortnite style, like online game mode. You know, what was it like mm-hmm. Stadium Stampede?
Oh, yeah.
I had, don't get me wrong, that was fun, but it was only fun whenever I was playing with friends. And even at that point, that even got repetitive and we didn't even do it for that long. So it was just like, no. this game had no legs to it. It felt like everything was kind of cut out from underneath it, and they kept bringing out all these updates of like, oh, well, they're going to add Swerve Strickland in the game, and they're going to add Tony Storm in the game. It's like, well, nobody cares anymore because nobody's playing the damn game. Like, you got to just... It was, in my eyes, I think the game was kind of a failure.
I'm not going to lie. I feel like they shoved the updates down our throats and be like, hey, play our game, when, you know, they could have done it in a more smoother transition.
How about they just make a great game with more content in it, and then people will play?
You know, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. You hit it on the nail.
Sorry, I didn't mean to steal your thunder.
No, you didn't need to. You pretty much summed that up.
So then, in that case, I'll move on to my number three, and that is WWE 12. This game I have such fond memories playing of back in the day. I mean, my grandparents had this game on their Wii. So like me and my brother, we'd play this one a lot. And this game holds a lot of memories for just like the universe mode. Because, okay, I have written down here draft lottery in my notes for this game. So this was the game that they added the draft lottery into universe mode. So after every WrestleMania, you'd have Raw guys and SmackDown guys go at it. And then whoever would win, like if the Raw guy won, then one of the guys from SmackDown would be drafted to Raw. This would make for like incredible content for years to come for people that would play this game and stuff. Online or for like YouTube and social media and everything like that. The roster at this time was definitely interesting because it's like the roster that I grew up, like 2011 is when I started watching wrestling. So it's like all the guys that I know and stuff, like even just like random guys like Alex Riley or Mason Ryan, or back when like before Husky Harris was, or before Bray Wyatt was Bray Wyatt, he was Husky Harris.
Oh my like, gosh, that's stuff right. Like that.
Yeah, yeah. They had before Curtis Axel. Anybody remember Curtis Axel before he was He was known as Michael McGillicuddy, and he was a tag team with David Otunga. Like that's all the stuff that it's just like, man, I just have like this weird, like, you know, nostalgia for that game and stuff. But the number one thing that is so awesome about this game, and especially as I've gotten older, I've learned to enjoy it even more, is the Road to WrestleMania mode for this game, because it's not like the usual ones where you have like these little mini stories that all take place around the same time period. It's three different stories that all coincide with each other, but they also, it's like to make it one big story, but there's also time jumps in there too to kind of like represent what's going on. So you start out as Sheamus, and it's like this heel story where you're like the United Kingdom faction, you guys take all the titles and stuff. And then the second storyline is Triple H. You're playing as Triple H because at the start of the first one, Sheamus takes out Triple H, he injures him, and then he comes back at the end of the Sheamus story to start his own story. And it's kind of like Triple H on the verge of retiring and things like that. And then the third story, which is my personal favorite, is the Jacob Cass story, which is a custom character for the game, voice and played by Austin Aries from TNA. So for those who remember that, and it's such a good story because it's basically like, hey, we're going to do this show where we pay tribute to WCW. We bring back all these WCW legends and it's really cool. And it eventually becomes like this WCW hostile takeover of WWE, and Nitro comes back and like they have the Nitro arena and everything. Like it's so freaking cool. And it's all about like, oh, WWE taking control of WCW. I really wish they would give you the option to like play as like joining WCW, because like as a kid I probably would have picked WWE. If I was playing it now, I'd be like, dude, I'm joining WCW, like I'm taking it to the feds, man, like let's freaking do this. But unfortunately you can't do that. But regardless, it is still a fun storyline nonetheless.
For sure, man. Like it's such a classic game. Like I'll be with you right there too. Like today I'd be with WCW too, just saying.
Yeah, dude, like that's where the big boys play, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, TJ, I will bring this up too, man. So I don't remember if I told you this or not, but I'm currently, because I've never actually watched, I've seen DVDs of like WCW matches and like, you know, things that happened on Nitro and things like that. Because Peacock has the entire library for Nitro, I've been going back and watching, or I've been watching through all those like Nitro starting in 95. So I'm at, I think at the time of this recording, I'm at the end of March in 96. So it has its moments. I'm kind of waiting for them to get to like the like the NWO stuff and whatnot to see how that plays out. Cause I've heard that like 97 and 98 are like peak WCW. At least that's what like all the WCW fans say. So I'm kind of just like waiting to get to that point, and then I'll see if like I want to continue on any further. But yeah, I'm not going to lie, I definitely will sometimes click that fast forward button to skip through like Hulk Hogan main events that all go the same way. You know what I'm saying? But like,
oh yeah.
Yeah, so I just thought I'd put that out there for our listeners. And if you guys want me to go into more detail about like what I think about WCW and whatnot, like you'll have to let me know in the comments below.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, you were telling me that you were watching Nitro and WCW again, and I honestly think that I wouldn't mind watching that with you sometime too, because it's always good to, you know, learn about past shows, you know.
Yeah, that's kind of... That's kind of what I've been trying to do too, because I feel like as a kid, right, like you hear all these stories about the evil WCW that tried to take over WWE, and then as a kid you're like, oh, but you know, they can't take over WWE because I like WWE. And then as you start to get older and you don't really care too much for like WWE, and then it's like, oh, you know what, maybe WCW was onto something.
I was gonna say, like, like today, you and
if I was the fan, yeah, if I was the fan, if I was growing up, or if I was this age now when WCW was around, like I probably would have been totally on board with like what WCW was doing and all that.
I ain't gonna lie, if we were like this age right now, like you said back then, I would have been like with you, okay, there's a point why WCW did what it did.
Let's why they kicked Raw's butt in the ratings so much. Yeah,
like as a kid, you're like, oh, nothing can ruin, you know, the almighty WWE, you know?
Yep, yep, but then, exactly.
But then, like, when you go back from it and learn from it, you're like, okay, why did that, you know, stop? Because it was, like, probably the best thing, and it did do good in the ratings. It was like, why did it have to stop? Because if you think of it, it was pro wrestling.
Well, there is a point where WCW does go downhill and they start making stupid decisions. Like, that much I know. I know a lot of like the history of WCW in terms of like the key moments and things like that, not told by WWE but by people, like other people outside of like WWE documentaries, because you got to be careful because WWE likes to rewrite history so much. But I do know that like there does come a point where WCW like falls off a cliff, and I think it starts like around the 2000s or something like that. And then, you know, they end up, you know, a bunch of stuff happens where they end up forcing to go out of business. But this, we'll get to that another time. Maybe we'll do a podcast episode about WCW. Maybe that's something we have to do sometime.
I'd be down for that. That'd be so fun to do.
Sounds good. Okay, it's in the bag for sure. Moving on to your number two.
Yeah, right? I was gonna say, we gotta transition back. All right.
Yeah, for sure.
Number two here. From number two, I played this game recently, and I think I played it with you too. It was WWE 2K24.
Oh, we did play that recently. Yeah, that's right.
I will say the graphics for that game were amazing. I liked the whole WrestleMania tribute in there too, like how you could choose your, you know, your WrestleMania year you could go and fight in. The stars were really cool to play as. Like, it was just a very good game to see. And after like 22 and 23, I really think 24 was probably one of the better games that they've done for quite a while, and I can't complain much about it. It was very well done. Stars were very good. Like, it was just really good to see, and the career mode was good. Everything about that game was just very good. I can't complain about it.
For sure. For sure. Like, yeah, and like, I think I've said my piece on the 2K games. Yeah.
Like, I'll be honest. No, it made AEW Fight Forever look like, you know, like Big Brother, Little Brother. 2K24 was the bigger brother in that scenario.
In terms of my number two, I've gone with the first ever game that was made by 2K, and that is WWE 2K14. This game is good for four reasons. There's create a finisher, which is one of the greatest, most funny things ever, because you could make like the most ridiculous finishers in that game. It is like going from like all these different positions. It just, it's this whole thing. And everybody that plays that game, y'all know what I'm talking about. Create a story, which I never utilized, and I regret it so much. It's the one thing in the game that I never utilized, was the create a story, because there was so much in there that I've seen like YouTubers and stuff do now that like, oh, this is really creative stuff. Like, I would have loved to have done this back in the day, but it was just like the one thing in that game that I never explored, but later on have like just fallen in love with. But the other two things that I really enjoy are the 30 years of WrestleMania, which is like this campaign where you go back and play through like the first 30 WrestleManias. Like, you play specific matches from each of those manias, and all of the games, like, you have different objectives that you do while you're playing to, you kind of mimic what happened in real life. And then the best part of it too is all of the cutscenes, it's all gameplay footage. It's not like the 2K games now where you go to a cutscene and it turns to the real life match, which, to be honest, I think is kind of stupid. I like it so much better when you're playing the game and they just like reanimate all of those scenes to look like the real events. Obviously, it's a lot more work, so it's probably why they don't do it, but it was such this cool thing, man. Like, I think, honestly, to this day, WWE 2K14, the best 2K game, and the final reason why that game is good is the Beat the Streak mode. I put so many damn hours into that mode trying to beat The Undertaker. Eventually, it got to the point where I got good enough where I could do it, like, a bunch of times and stuff, but it took me so long to get there that it would like frustrate me. Like, you know, when you're playing that really good video game, right? And you can't get past a certain boss. That's what this was. That The Undertaker was like the big boss battle in this game that you could just not get past. No matter who you were playing as, like, you could hit finisher after finisher. He'd just get up and do his stupid like rise up taunt, or the lights would go out and he'd be standing up. And eventually I got to the point where like, if you do he does the lights go out thing, he'll immediately go for his finisher. So if you time it right, you can counter that and get a finisher of your own. So that definitely helps. But oh my gosh, man, like that thing frustrated me so damn much. But at the same time, like I loved it because I have so many memories of just like playing that game and trying to beat The Undertaker and trying to do like all these different strategies. Oh man, all the times. Bruh. I love that game so much.
That sounds so fun. We should go back and play that game, honestly. Okay, so my number one was The Raw vs. SmackDown 2006. Because I remember I was playing it with you and your brother. And, like, they had the GM mode. And, like, I remember we were just having the time of our lives, like, making all these, like, five-star matches. You know, putting this person there. Like, it was just very fun for me. And, like, we were making, like, all these five-star matches, doing these promos. Like, it was just very fun for me. And, like, we were doing the... We're doing all this like fun stuff, moving rosters around. Like,
it's always fun. Yeah, it's always fun when you don't book a wrestler properly that they don't like, and they start getting really angry with you, and then they go like with the other roster, and then they come to you and they're like, hey, can you like pick up my contract or whatever from this roster? And what's so great about it too is like, if it's like a big name and they have them booked, like let's say like The Undertaker was on SmackDown, right? And let's say we're representing Raw and we get a call from The Undertaker saying, hey, can you pick up my contract? We could pick up Undertaker's contract and he wouldn't be on the SmackDown show. Even if like, let's say my brother was booking SmackDown and he booked him for that night, his match would go off the card and it would screw with your opponent because he would be on the other show. Stuff like that was always so much fun.
Like, that was all very fun. And like, you know, when you get like those like wrestlers coming in and be like, okay, what's going on here, whatever, like just making up your own stuff, like that was the best. There's why it was the best game for me.
Yeah, there's a reason why it's definitely on my list too, and why I love it so much, man. Yeah, the GM mode might be like my favorite wrestling game ever made, man. Like, mode I've ever played. I love it so much. But moving on to my number one, this game has a lot of popularity, not just from myself, but from a lot of wrestling fans. It's when a lot of people think of like the best wrestling games ever, a lot of people think of No Mercy, but the other two that people think of is SmackDown Shut Your Mouth and SmackDown Here Comes the Pain are like the three top wrestling games. And for me, I don't have much, like I never really played No Mercy. I've only played a little bit of Here Comes the Pain, but a game that I played a lot of, and it's my favorite wrestling game ever, is SmackDown Shut Your Mouth from 2002. The roster is incredible, and it also included like some of the WCW talent, because it was at the time that Vince would have bought the company, so they would have put some of those guys in the game. Obviously, the ones that signed with WWE, of course, like they wouldn't have had like Sting or Goldberg or anything like that, but... they also had an incredible career mode, which kind of followed like certain storylines that were going on in the WWF at the time, regardless of who you were playing as. But like at the start of every career mode, there would be this draft between like Vince McMahon and Ric Flair controlling the two brands. And you couldn't do the whole draft, but you could pick like the top 10 wrestlers. And it was always so cool. And you try to be like, all right, I got to make sure I'm getting like the biggest stars that I can get on my roster. I also got to make sure, okay, which wrestlers have the championship belts? Well, I don't know if I necessarily want William Regal, but he has the European championship. So I'll take that, you know, and put that on my roster. So it's always stuff like that, man. That's so cool. And if you're playing as Stone Cold, you get to like choose which roster you go on. And it's such good stuff. You could also do men versus women in that game as well, which I feel like is very rare to do in wrestling games. They don't really allow that to happen much anymore, but you could do like Stone Cold Steve Austin versus Lita, you know, if you wanted to, or The Rock versus Stephanie McMahon. You could do stuff like that.
Man, I never played that game before, but that sounds like a game that it would be very fun to play with, honestly.
My favorite matches in that game are the Royal Rumble. Like, the Royal Rumbles are always so fun to play in that game. And then also the special referee mode, because you could screw, like, I love being able to screw around with people. The only downside that I have about special referee in that game is you can only play as select people. Like, I think it's like Shawn Michaels, Ric Flair, I think like Vince and Stephanie maybe. And I think like, that's it. It's only a couple people that you can actually use for the special referee role, but it was still fun nonetheless. Like, I'd always just play as Shawn Michaels and I'd hit people with Sweet Chin Music and screw around with everybody. And it was always so much fun.
Classic. You can never go wrong with that.
So that's our list for today, you guys, both our list for the top five favorite wrestling video games ever. And that's going to do it for this episode of the R&D Wrestling Podcasts.
Thank you for tuning in, guys, and get ready for a whole year of fun. Me and Ryan are going to come up with some new creative ideas for our podcast, and we look forward to what you guys have to say, and we look forward to another great year.
Yeah, absolutely. Hopefully you guys are checking us out, sharing our videos around as well on YouTube. If you guys are listening to us on like Apple or Spotify, wherever you guys get your podcasts, we hope you guys share us around there as well to like help spread the word about our podcast for sure. And if you guys are watching on the YouTube feed, any guys, you know, we're talking about wrestling video games here today. I did a full series that at the time of this recording, by the time that this recording happened, all the episodes haven't gone out yet. But by the time that this goes up, they will be out. So make sure you guys are checking out my full GM mode series that I did over on the channel where I'm playing on like the hardest difficulty. It was a lot of fun. I got screwed over at certain points, but I also had a lot of fun doing it as well. And I think it's such a great series of videos that we have that you guys can definitely look into here on the channel. Especially for all those GM mode fans that are out there. So we thank you guys so much for watching or listening to this. Make sure you guys are liking and subscribing to the YouTube channel, sharing us around all your favorite podcast platforms, and we will see you guys in the next one.
See you guys.